Welcome back to Speak Up Las Cruces, and for this next half hour, this is the wonders of live radio. We were expecting to speak with Elizabeth Bennett. My understanding is that she's not available, and we have Catherine on the line. Is that correct? Catherine, do we have anybody on the line? Okay. That would seem to be a no. At any rate, we are hoping to talk soon about an upcoming protest that will be taking place, and maybe it's taking place now. The little bit of information that I got from Minerva is that apparently the person who we were intending to speak to has been arrested, and I'm assuming that is in connection to the protest, but I don't know that. Minerva is on the line right now with somebody else phoning in, and we are, their phone is ringing. So I'm not sure how all of this is going to come together. What would you like to talk to about?
Well, having read a little bit about the annual protest on the group's website, it seems like they run a protest in the fall at Creech base in Nevada, and they started to have one in the spring at Holloman, at which they have a march or a presence, a demonstration against the use of drones.
Correct.
In warfare, and that several groups, including Veterans for Peace, are involved in this annual protest. And that it's usually not a very large protest, but it is a visible protest. But if somebody has actually gotten arrested, then that seems fairly newsworthy.
That does, yeah. And you know, it's certainly timely. I mean, I think it's been several years that they've been doing this, and at the beginning, I kind of thought, yeah, that would be great if we could nip this in the bud and not have, am I still on now? No, I can't. Okay, now I can hear myself. But it seems like it's the genie's out of the bottle, or whatever that phrase is.
The genie of the use of drones in warfare?
Well, and we have just seen with the asymmetrical that, it costs millions of dollars to shoot those down, and it costs a couple hundred dollars to put them up or something like that.
Exactly. So what I wondered is, what the impact is on, like, if you were actually going to get rid of drones in warfare, what the impact would be on smaller entities that are trying to put up a military fight against a larger one.
That's,
you know,
exactly,
would you
where
be,
I was going.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Would you be shutting down their ability to, I don't know, defend themselves or...
Okay. I think we do have somebody on the line now. Is that correct?
Hi, yes. This is Liz Bennett with Las Cruces for Palestine.
Oh, well, thank you so much. Thank you so much for joining. I hope that I didn't give people false information. Can you tell us about, did you have some kind of conflict or with law enforcement?
There was a direct action that happened yesterday. It was a planned direct action in order to disrupt the business as usual of folks entering to do their day jobs on the base, Holloman Air Force Base, where folks are actively training in the industry of drone warfare. And I do believe some folks were arrested during that action.
Okay. Well, tell us a little bit. We're kind of jumping into the middle here. Tell us a little bit about your organization, the other organizations that are involved with this, and what you have planned.
Yeah, so I'm kind of jumping into the mix as a representative with Las Cruces for Palestine, and we have an anti-imperialist agenda that is definitely inspired by the struggle for freedom of Palestinians and this ongoing genocide, but that is interconnected with just kind of the global war industry that the United States is a major leader of, and we are joining forces with folks who are organizing the shutdown drone warfare week of action. And these are folks who have been involved in this movement for many years and have a lot of experience trying to connect with armed service members to just have a kind of reasonable and rational conversation about the implications of kind of their role in this kind of global war machine that we're seeing kind of play out in its execution of death and destruction across the globe. And so we're trying to just start conversations with our neighbors, start conversations with folks in our community about the fact that we have a choice to make in regards to the role that we play in lending our physical labor, our intellectual labor, our emotional labor that kind of keeps this industry barreling forward, particularly in a moment when our leadership is really standing to benefit financially from these kind of war games that are being played on a global scale. I can mention a few of the events that will be coming up this week. Tomorrow there's going to be a party in the park to just bring people out, hear some live music, share food together, and be in conversation about the world we want to create. And on Friday, there will be a march in Alamogordo, again, a peaceful demonstration of our values. And folks can find more detailed information at shutdowndronewarfare.org.
So both of those events are taking place in Alamogordo?
Yes, in Alamogordo, that's correct.
Okay.
And I'll also mention there's also going to be a documentary screening Friday evening. I'm forgetting the name of the film, but it's by journalist Abby Martin about the environmental costs of kind of the industrial war machine and all of the kind of testing that goes on, all of these munitions that are fired, and how it's one of the leading drivers of climate change. And she really goes in depth to that global environmental impact. And that screening will also be taking place in Alamogordo Friday evening at 6. And again, all those specific details can be found at shutdowndronewarfare.org.
I'm wondering if you can say a little bit about how you consider drone warfare to be ethically different from other kinds of warfare.
Yeah, that's an interesting question. And I'm kind of personally just kind of coming to understand the implications of drone warfare. But it really is kind of the cutting edge of like imperialist expansion at the moment. There's been a huge increase in U.S. investment in drone warfare. This last budget saw somewhere around $33 billion being allocated to the Department of Defense specifically to develop AI technology and like unmanned drone technology. So it's a massively like ballooning industry, and it has been a major player in the genocide in Palestine since October of 2023. And it allows for kind of these extreme levels of surveillance and munitions firing in kind of remote locations that can be like executed from far away. Other implications, like there's kind of this maybe this sense or rationale that drones prevent like U.S. forces from being in harm's way. But there is a lot of evidence and lived experience that demonstrates that service members still experience a lifetime of trauma, even when they are kind of sitting in a like command center using a computer to make some of these decisions. There's still that trauma of being engaged in death and destruction. And the death and destruction is still extreme. We're seeing that.
You're a good dog.
Like ongoing mass casualties that drone warfare is still playing a part of.
Jamie and I were talking just before you came on that the flip side of that, however, with drones is that it seems like it has given lesser countries it even the scales a little bit. I mean, you see that especially in Ukraine, where they have been incredibly successful in fending off the Russian attack. I don't know. I mean, certainly I understand your concerns, but it does seem like the way it has played out, at least right now, is that the drones seem like they're helping the smaller countries.
I think that is a, something that has to, be taken into account. And I think it's also important to consider the big picture, because the United States is not a small country that needs to defend itself against aggressors. So I think it's important that we kind of distinguish, like, who is using drones for what purpose. And it's also important for us to really have a in-depth conversation about where we draw the line and how we implement regulations that can prevent this kind of ballooning effect. Like the groundswell of big business in this industry lends itself to greater and greater conflict, and lends itself to the potential for these industries to be abused, particularly by like aggressive imperialist powers. I recently came to understand that Eric and Donald Trump now have personal business interests in the industry of drone warfare. And when you're incentivizing this type of like deadly technology, and it's in the hands of people who are evidently corrupt and have no regard for the rule of law or the sanctity of life, there's extreme danger in that. And I don't think that it's a fair trade-off to say that we can allow kind of smaller, more vulnerable countries to defend themselves with this technology while we are kind of out there creating the reason that smaller countries need to defend themselves.
Oh, that's a good point. I noticed on the group's website, or the Week of Action's website, it also mentions that y'all encourage GI resistance. And you said a few words about that, but I wonder if you could talk a little bit more about how those conversations actually take place and what it is that you are encouraging people to actually resist doing.
Yeah, I think we are in the midst of having a conversation as a country about this idea of refusing illegal orders. And I think the real invitation is for armed service members to listen to their conscience, to uphold the Constitution, which they are sworn to uphold and protect, particularly when we're in a moment when our leaders have an utter and blatant disregard for the Constitution and rule of law. In these moments, it very often comes down to what military leaders are willing to do when being directed by a bad actor. And I think it's important for all service members to understand that they do have a choice, that there's an element of kind of free will that is very relevant in these conversations. And there are resources out there that military personnel can access to even just like be in conversation about this. I don't have experience in the military. I am not like well informed about the inner workings of that culture of those institutions. However, there are many people who have been lifetime service members who have, you know, come to understand and question the implications of that service. And there are many organizations that are designed to provide support for service members who are looking to talk through some of the like cognitive dissonance, some of the kind of crises of conscience that will inevitably arise in these environments. And a lot of those resources are also available on that website, shutdowndronewarfare.org. There are direct links to organizations where service members can be in conversation about the implications of their actions and also the options that they have when they want to maybe kind of shift how they're operating within that system.
As I look to the future, the thing that I am most concerned about is AI and a time when it won't be officers deciding whether or not to obey an unlawful order. It will be AI. And at this stage in its development, as they played those war games, it's obvious that it is much more likely and willing to go to, you know, nuclear obliteration than a real person would be. So I guess my question is, is that something that your group and these other groups is looking at as well? As you're talking about drones, it seems to me that it won't be long before drones will be outdated and we'll be facing a much bigger issue. Are you looking
ahead. Yeah, and honestly, I think that moment is already here. Yeah. There's a lot of reporting on the use of AI by the Israeli military to identify and target individuals in Palestine. There are massive investments in AI technology, particularly within the realm of the military. And those are major implications, exactly like you're just saying, describing like what is the role of conscience and law, and how is that even programmed into these AI technologies that are currently being like overseen by an administration that clearly has like malintent in how they want to use those things. That is evident and undeniable. An extremely powerful technology is being integrated into these extremely lethal weapons. And I also just want to take the opportunity to tie in how this is not like just a kind of niche issue, but is intertwined into many systems that impact New Mexico in particular. And when we talk about the development of AI technology that has direct implications for the resources that we depend on and enjoy here in New Mexico and how they are currently being extracted by data centers, which are being built all across the state for the purpose of powering AI technology, much of which supports these military actions.
Yeah, we didn't even get into that part of Project Jupiter. We are down to our last few minutes. Why don't you remind people again what you have coming up and where they can go to find more information and give you an opportunity. What haven't we asked you about? Any final important points that you think need to be made?
Yeah, thank you so much. So what we've got coming up is tomorrow starting at 6 p.m., a party in the park. And again, I'm sorry, I can't give you all the specifics. That's just all the more reason to visit our website. But Party in the Park in Alamogordo for some live music, some food, some being with community tomorrow at 6 p.m. And then a peaceful march to the Capitol in Alamogordo happening Friday at 10 a.m. Again, all those details of where to meet up and how to participate at shutdowndronewarfare.org. And then Friday night, 6 p.m., a screening of Abby Martin's documentary on the environmental impact of the military-industrial complex. And lots of information on that website, shutdowndronewarfare.org. And I think the last piece that I will mention is just how much this is in the tradition of resistance that has been alive and well in New Mexico since the concept of New Mexico was born. There have been people resisting the trend for our state to be exploited, its land and its people to be exploited for the purpose of kind of the advancement of imperialism and colonialism. And there are many movements alive and well to resist those that trend. And there's such potential for such benefits. So I know earlier in the show you were talking about universal child care and the Boys and Girls Club. And there are so many like life affirming projects and applications of technology that we can be investing our public resources into for the betterment of all of us. And we have the opportunity to be active participants in the decision to divest from this industry of death and destruction in order to invest into life-affirming, earth-affirming, community-affirming initiatives. But we each have to make that decision to be engaged in that conversation and to shift the transition of where our state is headed.
And then just lastly, I'm curious, when we go through a time like we have this last few weeks and last few days where our president marches us right up to the brink of something that could have been horrible, does that just, what does that do to you and your resolve, and what does that do to your organization and its ability to get people to pay attention?
Yeah, I think the last couple of weeks have really been a bit of a wake-up call for folks who are maybe just kind of trusting the process. But you don't really have to look too far before things just no longer make sense. The narrative no longer makes sense. And there's a real effort to pretend like this is normal, but it's absolutely the furthest thing from normal. And like, it's one thing for like one person or a handful of folks in an administration to have these kind of like homicidal psychopathic tantrums, but it's another thing when all of us just kind of follow suit. And it's so important for us to maintain our own humanity and the humanity that I know is so very much still intact in so many people. And it's time to really demonstrate that. It's time for us to step away from the insanity of our administration. And that really requires us to shift how we engage with these extremely powerful tools.
Well said. Thank you very much for joining us.
Yeah, thank you so much for having me.